There's so many brilliant comedians that asked to be on Taskmaster, and we really, really like them. There's so many different layers of agents and channels, and they just carry on and they go and do other jobs, and it might be right that they haven't done Taskmaster because they've gone on to do something else, and everyone gets knocked back no matter how big or small you are.
Hey everyone, I'm Katie Traxton and you are listening to Anatomy of an Agency, the podcast all about the world of talent that explains exactly how it works behind the scenes. Now I've got a little bit of news for you all. You probably are already aware, but it is our 1 year anniversary of Anatomy of an Agency. And to celebrate that, we have a 2-part special, which we recorded nowhere else but the Taskmaster House. We chatted to Taskmaster Series director Andy Devonshire and Taskmaster Series producer Andy Cartwright. Between them, the two of them have worked on shows such as The Great British Bake Off, The Apprentice, and of course, my personal favourite, with the late great Michael Parkinson. I started by asking them, how do they cast Taskmaster?
I suppose the first thing about Taskmaster was the initial casting of Greg. So Alex's show, Alex's idea, Alex's vision was first and foremost to have Greg as the Taskmaster. I think that was the most central part of
casting. Oh, he always imagined it with Greg?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, he was the only person he really thought about having.
Yeah.
And so that was a kind of piece of casting, because he said yes, thankfully, that was sort of taking care of it for us. And I think beyond that, the idea of casting Taskmaster was like casting a drama, casting a sitcom, whatever, where you want a variety of different characters that sit alongside each other. And so first and foremost, you say, right, we want different personalities that come and fit in with this show, and they've got to get on, and they've got to work together to make the show. I mean, not everyone is, you know, not everyone would be suited to something like Taskmaster because it's a particularly weird kind of show. And so from the outset, we're looking for sort of collaborative improvisers, people that are funny. You know, we have a checklist of criteria for those people that would make it work for the show.
So we start off with, we always, after two big stars for the channel, is the way generally the casting works. And then from there, we've got good relationships with agents. Andy's very good at going out and watching lots of new talent. We get sent, inundated with clips. We watch people on things, and we're just always looking for something a little bit special.
It's parts of a puzzle, isn't it? I think that's the thing about Taskmaster. It's not like saying you need someone that's good at this and need someone that's good at that. Other shows that we might make, you know, have, you say, right, we need someone to fit this hole or whatever. We've got weird holes for Taskmaster. It's an ensemble cast, so it's people that fit in with those. And the strange thing is, it doesn't fit a checklist. It's sort of a checklist, but then everything changes to shift because it's the spirit of the show. You want the show to have a character. You want the show to have a feeling. And so once you get one part of the puzzle, then you fit around them to contrast and complement.
So instead of the filters being likability, skill, how funny you are, the filter is basically Taskmaster appropriateness.
I think that all those other
things. It's the same filter, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We always want nice people. So we go with reputations, and we know lots of comedians, and we don't want anyone that's got a bad reputation on the show that's a nasty person. We only want nice people.
I think, we start from the positive. It's people, but it's people that fit in with the, that fit the show rather than, some people just wouldn't be suited to it, you know, in terms of, a lot of people are lone wolves, you know, they might not want to fit into the sort of ensemble kind of feel. I think it's always, you know, you always want to work with good, nice people. So that's, you know, that's an easy checklist.
How much do people arrive at the show fully formed, ready to go? You put them into the circumstances, great. And how much do you need to brief them, bring the best out of them, edit that which they're doing?
I think one or two knows the show inside out per series, would you say? And then the others are aware of it. Either they know it's a good job to do and a fun show to make, or they tell us that they've seen it, and then we find out quite quickly that they haven't.
I think the beauty, that you know, the easy bit from our part is the fact that actually we want people to be real and to be themselves. And so actually we're not saying be this character. Like, we don't want you to be the angry one. We don't want you to be the silly one. We hopefully the casting has done the job in terms of bringing these people to the show. It's then up to us to get the real part of them out of it, to actually get their real selves. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of the show, and it makes it a lot easier for us. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously we do help them, and we nudge them, and we help them in certain aspects of the show that need help. You know, some need more support than others. Others, you know, come in fully formed, and, you know, but we want them to be fully formed. I think when, as soon as someone comes in and tries to be something different, then it doesn't work. I think the whole idea is that it's reflecting true personality, and so in that sense it's really useful. You know, it's really good. It's different to other shows in terms of we want them to be themselves. It's a comedy documentary, sort of.
Because so much of Taskmaster is improvisation, how does that differ to other shows you've worked on? Are you much more prescriptive about the casting on other shows in terms of demographics and how they come together as a unit and maybe profiles and things like that?
I think it's all the same thing. You want people that are going to work on camera. And so actually, you know, if you're casting an expert, they might not need to improvise, but they might need to be articulate and sort of be reflective of their skill. You want them to demonstrate their skills. You know, you're looking for different skills. Every show is different. If someone fits the show because they're an expert on clocks, then you get an expert on clocks, and you hope that they can talk and they can be interesting and engaging. And I think that's, you know, that's the key. You know, you find experts who can talk are pretty useful. But you know, I think every show is different.
Yeah.
I think you need someone to fit the part in the show, and you have different skills that you need to find out, and you need to dig out of people and find the right people, you know, and you can meet five perfectly nice clockmakers, and one of them might work, might not. I'm just saying this because of the clock there. That's the first thing that came to my head. I'm not obsessed with clockmakers.
It's not a scoop. That's not your next show.
Yeah, no. Clockmaster. When you're looking for talent, you're looking for someone that does the job. I mean, it's a really basic, basic thought. You know, you're not looking for anything other than someone that can bring across their talent to the show. And I think it's our job to bring out their talent, to make it work within the confines of the show, whatever it may be. And so I think when you're casting, it's often a gut thing. When you meet people and you see people, it's a gut thing. It's, you know, you can see how someone might work better than others, or some, you know, this is the person for the job.
Yeah, it's different on Taskmaster that we don't do a cast. There's not a casting process. We don't try people out and see that they'll work. I guess we trust in the format more, that it's the tasks are funny and they're going to try to do them and that'll be funny, and then we just hope that the rest works.
We also know that we can support
and
make people and help people work. I mean, that's the thing. It's helping rather than, you know, we want people to be themselves, but we want them to have a good time. It's very important. We want decent people. We want funny people. And we want them to have a really good, you know, it's really important to us, and it's important to the show that they have a good time. And that's not a sort of cuddly, we want them to be nice kind of thing. It's what makes it's mercenary. It makes the show work better. And it, you know, we will have a better time. It's hard enough work as it is. Yeah. Everything should be a joy to make, you know, hard work should be joyful in parts.
But most other jobs, I guess we do auditions and chemistry tests and,
yeah,
but this is, you're in, you open the task and you go.
I was going to ask about chemistry. How do you make sure, even if you've got five people who individually you think are brilliant, whether they've auditioned individually or whether you've seen them doing stand-up or whatever it might be, how do you know? Is it just instinct that they will work well together?
The fact that they've all got this experience together, it's only five of them are going to have this experience of these specific tasks on this specific series, and when they're going to studio, we try and make it that they're so excited to see what the other people have done, and it's a joyful experience, that joy and that little moment together, because they won't get to do it again, kind of brings the chemistry out.
I think we trust that we've got the right people in the job, and like you say, the five people have this unique experience. They're an ensemble that won't happen again. It's a unique set of experiences they've had. And so they're bonded already, because, you know, they come into this room, they're alone, and they go through this weird experience of doing all these tasks. And it's, you know, it's hard work, and it is quite a scramble for their brains, but when they get into the studio, that's the moment at which they things make much more sense, because they see other people having gone through the same experience. It's kind of like a survivor's therapy group.
Yeah, and you do see the chemistry develop. The first episode, everyone's sort of getting to know each other, because sometimes comedians do know each other from the circuit, but quite often, you know, it's the first time they see each other is getting mic'd up.
And even then, they even if they did know each other, they'd never known each other under these circumstances.
Yeah.
So there's a bond there, but I think there's an instant bond amongst the five of them. And Greg and Alex are really good at making people feel at home, and you know, the experience is a positive and joyful one. So that helps. You know, if they were uncomfortable and grumpy and harshly treated, it would be chemistry would be slightly different. But it just works, and you trust that, you know, you get good people on and things will work out.
How different is your relationship with Greg and Alex versus the contestants or the celebrities?
We never comedians talk to Greg and Alex. They're not allowed to, we're not allowed to talk to them. Alex is, because he's here all the time, his relationship's similar to ours, I would say, in terms of he's done the hard yards with them. It's a lot more straightforward for Greg because he's there to judge them and he's there to tickle them for the gems and the sort of, you know, he's there to pull out the funny from them. So his is a really tough job, and it's, you know, he does it so well. But his relationship is very much as much on camera as possible. I mean, he, you know, he does see them off stage, but he enjoys the playing of the role of Taskmaster. So it gives him a sort of distance and the ability to pluck the gems from them.
I think with Greg and Alex, we like to think it's a fairly well-oiled machine now. Alex is...
I mean, we're with Alex all the time. It's the three of us who work, you know, we're here every day. So we are on the same page all the way through and making things work. Yeah. Greg is brought up to speed very quickly in the studio, and he, you know, he knows, as you say, it's a well-oiled machine. We're just prepping for our 21st series.
Yeah, we try to make it as pleasant and nice for Greg. So Greg gets the tasks before to watch. He makes his notes, we work through it together, give him any tips that he might need, but really he just watches it and reacts, and it's as we just make it as real as possible, really.
So what would happen, let's not say on Taskmaster, because let's say you're all going to be a happy family until series 100 and beyond, but on a show, if you have a show where it is so synced with one host like Greg, people think of Taskmaster, they think of Greg. What happens if after 20 series, 30, that person moves on? How do you keep the show going? Or do you say, they're so tightly bound together, it's almost impossible?
It's easy to talk about other shows, I would say, that have had change of personnel. And I think the format of this show is so strong and it works around the world. I mean, we wouldn't want to do it without Greg. So let's, you know, we can't possibly entertain that thought. But, you know, the reality is you have a format, you know, formats that have worked for a long period of time, adapt and change to the people involved, the presenters. You know, it never happened with Greg. He'll never leave us because we love him.
No, I heard that too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out how old Greg would be at series 100.
Exactly the same age as me.
Okay, that's true.
Really old. I mean, I did Bake Off, and Bake Off, everyone thought that wouldn't survive. I mean, I left with the, as it moved from BBC One to Channel 4, and it's evolved into the same show, but different. I think, you know, when you have a format that's strong, you have a format that's worked out, things adapt and change, and it's still popular. It's different to how it was, but that's what happens, you know. I mean, talent is an integral part of the show, but then, as with us, we're all, you know...
97, by the way.
Expendable, thank you. We're all parts of a machine that works well. And so, you know, talent shifts and changes, you know, match the day. We thought it was going to die when Des left, but actually, you know, Carol Lineker came on, took it on and made it even better. I think that's the thing. I think, you know, if you have a format with a strong tenor at the centre of it, then it's going to work. Mm-hmm. As long as you get the right person in to replace them.
Didn't know you watched Match of the Day.
I don't, but I'm aware of it. No, but I mean, I do remember the shift then. That was, you know, it was a cultural shift because Des Lynam was the face of it forever, and you thought, oh God, it's going to die without it. And Gary Lineker wasn't great his first year, but then I think he did the work. You could see his change in sort of confidence in terms, you know, whether that was him or personally, or whether it was the team behind him that helped him reinvent himself. You know, a format is, you know, a really strong part of a TV, or, you know.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Well, hopefully by the time you're all 97, you'll have got Taskmaster down to one task per episode, so everybody can have a nap.
It's just, yeah, wash your teeth. In 97, I mean,
Greg will be a normal height when he's 97.
It is, I mean, it is amazing because, you know, this month is 10 years since first TX of Taskmaster, and it feels like 100 years. You know, so we're prepping for studio series 21 in September, and I don't think we had any inkling that we'd be here 10 years on. We hired this house for like 4 months or something like that, and then we had to sort of
clear out
afterwards, and then make the show and go back to our other jobs, and then came back and had another go, and then here we are.
If I have a public profile, I don't. If I had a public profile for doing something other than comedy or something comedy adjacent, so I'm in sport or music or whatever it might be, but I think that I would be great for a show like Taskmaster, or it could be Bake Off or whatever else, but it's not necessarily obvious to the showrunners that I am a master baker on the side or whatever it might be. How do I get in touch? How do I make myself known?
I mean, it's as we talked about skills. I mean, I think the thing for something like Bake Off, you have to demonstrate, you have to apply like everyone else, and, you know, and demonstrate your skills at baking. I think it's more straightforward when you have a skill like that, you know, to demonstrate it, because the difficulty coming into Taskmaster is you want to see a track record, you want to see clips or experience or see the experience of someone working with other comedians and other comics. I think if you have a skill that you can make clear to the producers of a show, then that's what you do. You demonstrate that skill, you find a way in to do something like that.
You want help being able to hone your skill. And that's, yeah, whether that's an agent or a producer or both. Well, what's your experience? Turning it around. How do you know how to...
Well, so if it's a combination of things, in my experience, I've never been interviewed before. In my experience, it's not all agents are happy to go after speculative outreach for opportunities. So absolutely, if you've got a comedian, I think they'll go absolutely all out to try and get them on Taskmaster if that's what they want. But if they've got an Olympian or they've got a musician or whatever it might be, there is sometimes a sense of, well, that's not low-hanging fruit. It's very unlikely you're going to get on that show. So let's put our attentions in a different direction. Now, I guess my point would be, well, nothing's necessarily impossible until you've tried and found out what you can and can't do. So I would always encourage people, whether, you know, you can have Olympic gold medalists who don't have representation. So how do they get in touch? How do they find out what people are looking for? How do they make the most of that one-shot phone call or meeting or audition? And so, yes, we will try and help. But the podcast is really for the people who don't necessarily have someone by their side trying to help them, to give them the best opportunity.
It's going for a job.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I think I always have a thing when you're in a job interview, I always want to give the person I'm interviewing the job, because it then means... I did an advert once where the casting director brought in, it was 120 kids for like, it was for an advert, and it was...
That must have been fun.
I mean, it was awful, because the first one that came in could do it. You know, it is that thing. And so you go through and you know that you're going to disappoint 119 kids that come through in a very long day. And I think that was a mistake, you know, to get that many people in. It's great to have that attention, but I don't think it's fair to put those people through that mill where you're saying, actually, you know, you have to narrow it down before we get to that situation, because some of those kids... would be, you know, all of those kids could have probably done it. Some would be better than others. Let's do a sift before we go in. So I think if you get to a situation where you want to go for a particular role or whatever, then believe that the person behind the desk wants to give you the job, because then they don't have to interview another 119 people.
Yeah. You probably want to find the kind of thing that you want to do. So we're generally pretty busy, but if you find a company that makes the kind of thing that you want to make, and they have a development department, you want to go for a development producer rather than a producer, a director that's working on things. I think there's, I'm trying to think, there's lots of people who've got in touch with Alex, and Alex is so responsive and nice to people that we've had people work on the show because they got in touch. So don't be afraid to get in touch with people. The worst that will happen is I'll say, look, I'm sorry, I've got no time. The best that will happen is that they'll get in, you'll meet them, and you'll find a job that takes you on an exciting path for the rest of your life. So don't be afraid to get in touch with people and try and find the right area, not just
right way.
I don't think it's right just shooting every single person in the world an email. It might help, but you'll probably lose track of who you've got in touch with and why. So if you can focus a little more on wait and have a good reason to get in touch with them, to show that you're passionate and explain yourself concisely,
and also don't feel disheartened if you don't get a response or you don't get what you wanted. I mean, because I think you just have to try, and sometimes that luck will work. If you're asking people, you know, for something, they're not always going to say yes straight away and come and give you what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, it's literally that. You know, you have to just kiss some frogs. Just have to find a way in. Because you know, you get a load of letters and load of queries, and loads of times it's just not right, where you know you haven't got the opportunity to help them. You know, people want to help generally.
Yeah.
But it's not always possible. You know, I mean, working on this, it's a very small team, it's very low turnover. We've had a lot of the same people for so long. So when people get in touch and they're brilliantly qualified and they're brilliantly right for the job in so many ways, and you want to give them the job, but there's just not that opportunity. So that's just going to happen. And, you know, to be on Taskmaster as a, you know, contestant, I think it's, you know, it feels like a lot because we do 10 people a year, but it's only 10 people a year, and so you can't be downhearted because it doesn't work this time.
We have lots of comedians get in touch with us directly, which generally either try and help them with ideas they have or pass them on to development people that will be able to help them. But in other jobs, I remember I made a children's science show, and we had a researcher that got in touch, and we got them to do a little test, and then they did get a little spot doing a little segment, and they went on to present science TV shows, and that was how they started. Was just they're a runner and then they're a researcher, and then they asked if they could try doing something in front of the camera. And if they hadn't asked, I don't think we'd have suggested them for it, but they tried it, they worked really hard at it, and we got them noticed and got them a little job in a kids show. So I think you do have to put yourself out there, and you do have to try, and you'll get knocked back and things will go wrong, but it's really worth it.
I think you just got to ask, and then, you know, and don't be hurt when someone says no, because there is a million reasons why, you know, someone who's perfectly right for the job doesn't get the job. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's a lot of people out for the same kind of opportunities. It's just what happens. And actually, just you have to be, you know, being robust is quite a key tenet of doing stuff, I'd say.
There's so many brilliant comedians that asked to be on Taskmaster, and we really, really like them. But there's so many different layers of agents and channels, and just you can't... Yeah. But they just carry on, and they go and do other jobs, and it might be right that they haven't done Taskmaster because they've gone on to do something else, and... I don't know. It's really tricky. Everyone gets knocked back, no matter how big or small you are.
Amazing insight there from Andy Cartwright and Andy Devonshire of Taskmaster. I cannot wait for part two, where you will also get to hear a little bit more about their personal histories and careers. Don't forget to get in touch with us via email, juvio@goodvibesonlytalent.com or on social media @goodvibesonlytalent. And other than that, for me, for now, it is goodbye.